And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 168, and as always, we're coming at you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And yeah, don't forget, folks, that the next couple weeks from now, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be winging my way across the Atlantic over the first 4 days of my vacation. Going to be on the Shetland Islands, which is the far north of Scotland and the kind of the farthest north you can get and still be in the UK. In fact, it's actually closer to Norway than it is to the UK. And then the second half of it, I'm going to be in the Outer Hebrides, so another island, this time off the west coast of Scotland. And that's going to be kind of what I'm doing. And get a little bit of a stop in Dublin on my way and hopefully connecting with one of our listeners there. But yeah, so I guess we'll find out once I get back everything that's going on. But just be aware that in the next couple of weeks, there won't be any shows. And of course, if you're listening to podcasts, you won't notice because then, of course, I'll be back and there won't be a gap anymore. Anyway, but you know me, I like to let you know if I'm not going to be on or whatever. And then you can download something else and go back to listen to old shows or whatever. All right, so we are continuing on, of course, with the Lee Kirby run. And so let's just get right to it, shall we? And on with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
And this week we are looking at the Mighty Thor number 174 as a cover date of March of 1970. Cover price was 15 cents. Cover art is by Jack Kirby, inked by Bill Everett. And we see Thor falling out of the sky into apparently a New York City alleyway. And in this alleyway, there's a guy in a purple suit, and he's carrying the sort of gun-looking contraption. And some there's some futuristic Kirby tech here next to him, and some garbage cans and all that. And we have the cover blurb, the challenge of the Crypto Man. That's Crypto with a C, folks, and not with a K. We wouldn't want DC's lawyers to get up in arms about this story. And we open up to the splash page where, of course, we have the title of the story, which is The Carnage of the Crypto Man, rather than The Challenge. And we have the credits. Script and art are by Stanley and Jack Kirby. Inking is by Bill Everett. Lettering is by Sam Rosen. And we see Thor flying across New York City. And, of course, it's a very fanciful, Jack Kirby version of New York City that doesn't look anything like the actual New York City. And Thor is flying through the air, and he is looking at these mysterious glowing objects. And they're to us, they just look like pale circles and very pale pink. And they, even paler pale pink. And the other one is the sort of lemon yellow color, and Thor has noticed them, and he's saying, "Three strange flying objects streaking across yon evening sky. I must learn the why and wherefore." And because Thor likes to speak the obvious, and he's trying to follow them, but they end up stopping in midair, and Thor's like, "They do halt in mid-flight, spinning madly about, and before my very eyes, their colors and hues now do mystically change. 'Tis almost as though they do seek to attract the attention of Thor." And he gets closer to them, and then all of a sudden he is struck by some kind of a ray or gun or something. And you don't really see, just kind of see a pink explosion, and Thor gets kind of thrown back. And he falls out of the sky. And this is basically the scene that we saw on the cover. We see that there's a guy down on the ground, and he's got this weird kind of ray gun thing, and another machine that seems to be generating these glowing globes that he's chasing after in the sky. And the guy's like, "It worked. My illusion beams decoyed him into target position, and my hypno stun ray did the rest. This is only the initial part of my master plan. I must complete phase two before the hypno shock wears off. And Thor falls out of the sky onto a giant piece of I don't know, cellophane. It looks like a shrink wrap. Thor lands on this thing with a thong. And this guy's saying, the plastic net caught him exactly as planned. And now the realization of my lifelong dream. My chance to prove that I'm the world's greatest microelectronic engineer. With this device, I'll sap half the strength of the world's most powerful being. Strength which I can transfer to another being of my own choosing. And he's got this weird purple machine here that sort of looks like a blow dryer flashlight. I don't know. It looks more like a flashlight than anything. And he sticks it on Thor's chest, and he apparently is drawing energy from Thor while Thor is stunned. And then he goes running off because Thor's starting to wake up, and he goes running off, and he says, thinking to himself, I finished just in time. His resistance was greater than I thought. He begins to stir already. And he gets into a car and is racing off, and we're following him for this part of the story. And he's kind of racing through the streets of New York City, which seemed to be empty of people because, you know, New York City, there's no traffic or people or anything in the middle of the street. That's why Thor likes to hang out in the middle of the street, folks. And he's driving through the city. But it's too late for Thor or anyone in the world to stop me now. They dared to call me mad. They said I was too young to realize how dangerous my experiments were. And now they'll wail a different tune. I'm about to succeed where all those before me have faltered or failed. And the car pulls into apparently an abandoned warehouse because there's, you know, nobody else around. And he's got a parking garage area, and you see boxes and barrels and stuff in the storage here. I, and I alone, have found a way to harness the superhuman strength of Thor. It will serve only me, and I use it to take my revenge on those who have ridiculed me in the past. For now for the one who so patiently waits to do my bidding. Now to transfer the power to my Crypto Man. And he presses a button and a hidden door slides open, and we see these big, huge, you know, really elaborate Kirby machines inside. And we also see inside there's this blue, ugly robot looking guy, which is obviously the Crypto Man. And he's sort of a generic blue Kirby robot, but he's got this sort of yellow frame around his face and kind of glowy yellow eyes, and it looks like he's wearing Galactus's armor. Very much the lower part of his body is armored exactly the way Galactus would be. Next page, we have a full page spread here of this guy, the scientist dude, and his ugly kind of blue and yellow robot. And then there's this giant pink glowy gun projector sort of thing on, and it looks like it's on casters like a couch. And it's, you know, got orange Kirby crackle, and kind of very, very typical and very cool looking piece of Kirby tech. Very, very cool. The guy's continuing to talk to himself. He's just talking to the robot, I guess. Once I have made you the most powerful being on Earth, once I have proven the extent of my genius, there'll be others to follow. You'll be but the forerunner of an army of crypto men, an army with which I can dominate the world. And now, all that remains is to activate the dynamo to feed you the power. And he takes this device, and we guess, and plugs it into this big pink thing. And it blasts the robot with energy. And you see this beam, you know, kind of striking out at the robot. And there's this, not really Kirby crackle, but it's a different energy effect. It's clear that Kirby's trying different kind of effects with his artwork, kind of sizzling or whatever. And he shouts out, I've done it! You now possess power which can match Thor's own, for it was taken from the Thunder God himself. And the robot starts to move, and it says, I possess power. And the scientist is like, and I'm your master. You'll obey my every thought. And the robot's like, I possess power. And he smashes the big pink projector thing. So, of course, yeah, the scientist guy will never be able to do that again. And then the scientist has this sort of flashlight device, though it's kind of a controlling device, apparently, or it's a different type of flashlight device. Maybe this guy just likes to it's not the same thing, maybe, that he took the power from Thor with her. Maybe it is. I don't know. And he shines this beam at the robot, says, "Now halt. Good. Good. You have no choice. You must obey me. Now remain motionless as I give you your commands." And we shift scenes, and Thor's in the city, and he's climbing to the top of a building, which is odd, because, you know, we think he would just kind of fly up there. And his arm reaches over the wall, and he's talking to himself, as Thor is wont to do. "Never hath Thor felt so weak. The Thunder God shall rest upon this quiet rooftop." And he's up there for a few minutes, and Thor's like, "'Tis more than rest Thor needs. My full strength returneth not. Verily, the son of Odin hath been most unseemly duped. The flying discs I followed were meant to trap and wary Thor. But for what purpose? To what end? Mayhap where Thor is baffled, the mortal Donald Blake may find a clue." And so he decides that he's going to head to Don Blake's office, and he takes off, and you see him passing by, you know, various very unrealistic-looking New York City buildings. And he gets to Don Blake's office, but there's somebody in the office, so he can't go in. And it's this elderly woman with a fur hat, and he's, "But hold, a patient waits within his chamber. She is most sorely grieved. The need must thus be great." And he's kind of peeking in at the old lady, but she doesn't notice him, and she's kind of sobbing into a hanky. And we actually see a bit of a painting on the wall, and it looks like a Kirby space scene. The Don Blake has the weirdest art in his office. Have you ever kind of thought about that? Anyway, it's very strange. And so Thor is spying on her, and he's saying, "She trembles. She doth seem faint. She clutches at her heart. Whatever her ailment, 'tis Dr. Blake whom she doth need, far more than the Thunder God. And 'tis Dr. Blake that she shall find." And Thor clambers up to the roof. Again, we've got a kind of a cool couple panels here of Thor climbing up a building. It's something we saw last time, too. And he bangs his hammer on the ground and changes into Dr. Don Blake. And Blake is like, "Now to reach my office as quickly as possible." And he goes down through the lobby, I guess. And we see actually it looks like the same model that we saw last time, kind of striding through the office, the same red-haired woman with the big round glasses that we saw last issue. That's a bit funny bit of continuity there, isn't it? And of course, Blake is talking to himself out loud. "She seemed so troubled, so distraught, and yet I sense that her problem was more than physical." And he arrives in his office and he kind of bursts through the door. And the lady is, "Dr. Blake, is that you at last?" "Why, I know her," he thinks to himself. "I remember her now. I didn't recognize her at the window with her head bent down." "What's wrong, Mrs. White?" says Dr. Blake.
I only wish I knew."
"You're agitated, trembling. And yet, your pulse seems normal enough." He's taking her pulse through gloves, which is, that doesn't seem like it would be very efficient.
"It isn't me, Doctor. I only wish it were. It's my son, Jasper. You've never met him. He's a few years younger than you."
"What's wrong with him, Mrs. White?" And Blake's thinking to himself, "Jasper White? Where have I heard that name?"
"He's missing, Doctor. He vanished without a trace. Months ago."
"Vanished? Isn't that more a job for the police?"
"No, he left home of his own free will. He was angry, mad at the whole world. My husband is dead. I've no one to turn to. And then I remembered my son was a scientist, somewhat like you, although his field was pure research. I thought you might have seen him or heard something. Here, I have a picture of him."
And she pulls a picture out of her purse, and it's the guy that we saw draining Thor's strength from him. Of course, who else would it be? But I love her reasoning here. It says, "I can't find my son, so I'm just going to go to a random doctor who, I barely know and see if he knows where my son is."
"He's brilliant, Dr. Blake, but his fellow scientists were jealous of him, feared him. He told me so himself. He swore he'd show them how wrong they were."
And we shift scenes again, and as if to, drive home how dangerous he is. We have the Crypto Man, the big blue and yellow ugly robot, crashing through the wall, and the scientist is like, "Go, let nothing stop you." And the robot crashes through the wall, and there's people outside. They're like, "Holy smoke, what's that? Keep moving. You needn't fear nothing. Nothing, do you hear? I have power." And the Crypto Man reaches out and smashes a car. This the guy, Jasper or whatever, is following him.
"Perfect. Perfect. Your strength is all I had hoped it would be. Now let the police learn how helpless they are against you."
And there's a couple of police officers running up to stop him. Like,
"Hey, hold it, you. I don't know what we're up against here, Sam, but I'll keep him covered while you call the precinct. He's looking at you like that gun means nothing."
And, he's a robot. What does he care about guns? And he's like, "I have power." I wonder if this guy's related to Groot. Kind of lifts up the sidewalk with a big scrask. And the cops are like,
"He's lifting the whole blasted sidewalk.
He broke a gas main. Flames leaping out. He isn't human. He's strong as a bulldozer."
And the robot's kind of standing in the middle of the flame and just basically is kind of barrels across the flame towards the cops. And they're shooting at him, and the bullets, of course, are just bouncing off.
"No wonder he wasn't worried about my gun. The bullets bouncing off of him.
Have to get away. Have to reach the station house. Have to warn them."
And Jasper's around the corner.
"This is the greatest moment of my life. I've done what I set out to do. No power on earth can stop me now."
And we shift scenes once again, and we are back in Dr. Blake's office. And now I've become kind of obsessed with the kind of artwork that Dr. Blake has on the wall. they have like this weird squiggly art poster sort of thing. It looks like it says NIN or NIM. Maybe it's the secret of NIM. I don't know. You see some bookshelves, and some of the books have titles like Basic Surgery. Because that's the kind of books that a doctor would have in their office. And Dr. Blake decides he's going to call the police and see if there's any word of this Jasper dude. And he's thinking to himself,
"Perhaps the police have had some word of Jasper White. I'll call and find out. I waited until she left in case the news was bad. Let me talk to Captain Dunlap," he says on the phone. "What's that, Captain? No time for missing persons? Well, how would he know what he's calling about?"
"Captain Dunlop, the psychic detective."
Sounds like a really bad supporting character from one of the 70s horror comics like Werewolf by Night.
"You say there's a deadly super strong being loose in the city? I wonder," says Blake. "Could this have some connection with what happened to me? Well, there's no need to waste time speculating when I can learn the answer with one tap of my walking stick."
And he takes his lab coat off and he bangs his stick on the ground and he changes into Thor. And Thor says,
"Now to learn what menace doth stalk the streets this night."
And he hears sirens. He decides he's going to chase the sirens. "Mine ears hear sirens yonder. In that direction must Thor fly. But my strength hath been halved. Still am I a match for any who threaten man."
And it's not like it's the first time that Thor's had half his strength taken away.
I mean, if you think back to the Journey into Mystery days, we had that happen at least once before, probably more than once. And he comes across the police, and they're still shooting their guns and stuff at the robot. And there's inexplicably still civilians here that are still fleeing. And Thor's like, "Let thy firing cease. The Thunder God hath arrived."
"Thor, we can sure use you, man."
"Our shells are useless against him."
"'Tis but a single figure that doth face me, with all the seeming of an earthly robot. But his strength exceedeth any Thor hath known. I have power."
And you see the robot has grabbed one of these old-fashioned marquee signs off the wall. And he swings it at Thor, but he misses and kind of smashes into the ground. Obviously, Thor is fighting back here. He strikes the robot with Mjolnir, and there's a giant zong.
"But cease thy futile carnage. The Thunder God wouldst know who hath commanded thee."
"I have power," says the robot.
And he grabs Thor's wrist, and Thor is saying out loud,
"My wrist is seized with a grip like unto mine own."
And he gets punched, and he's like, "And a blow which containeth the power of Asgard." So, Thor realizes something's going on here.
"Yet never were such as thee spawned within the fabled realm.
'Tis almost as though thou hast the power Thor hath lost. And yet, how canst that be? And the robot is hammering at Thor. Thor's dodging for the most part and are blocking his fist with the hammer. And he does like a judo throw. He kind of does this leg throw of the robot and jumps on top. And basically, they're just kind of tussling here on this page. Since thou speakest not save one hollow phrase, then Thor himself shall learn what must be known. Even if thou hast mystically stolen mine Asgardian strength, still have Thor proved to be my master. For that which doth remain within Thor's limbs is still the blood of Allfather Odin. And now thou shalt see what Asgardian blood doth mean. Then if thou wilt not speak, let him who fashioned thee come forth to face the wrath of Thor. And the robot kind of grabs Thor's face, but Thor is kind of throwing him aside and smashes him back. The robot grabs like a big chunk of wall, pictures it at Thor, kind of buries him under rubble. For whoso wonders threatens man to the thunder god must answer, and smashes him back. Weak and uncertain, he doth seize a section of yonder building, tearing it away with his own two hands. He seeks to use it as a weapon, with which to smite his foe. But a prince of Asgard is not so quickly smitten. Yet let me now attack and no more, till I have better learned his motive. And so Thor kind of plays dead underneath the rubble that the robot threw at him. So the robot is starting to move away, going on to something else. Thinking he hath crushed me, he doth move on. But whither and why? And Thor looks up and he's kind of lifting the bricks off him. And he sees Jasper just kind of standing there. And he's thinking to himself, an onlooker hath broken from the barrier. He stands observing me. But I have seen that face before. 'Tis the missing Jasper White. And Jasper's kind of gloating over Thor here. It's no fun winning unless the one you've beaten knows you're the victor. I defeated you, Thunder God, just as my Crypto Man will defeat anyone who tries to stand in my way. Breaking free won't help you now. And Thor's like, what hath filled thy heart with such burning hatred? Everyone who laughed at me, who wouldn't listen to my theories. Theories such as purloining the strength of another being? I know who thou art, Jasper White, and I know what thou hast done.
Then you should know you'll never get your strength back until my creation is defeated. And no one can defeat the Crypto Man.
And we're going to wonder what Crypto Man, what crypto in his name means, because that doesn't make any sense.
Too long hath we spoken. My prey hath vanished. I must find him, says Thor.
Why bother? He'll beat you once. He'll do it again.
Thou dost presume too much. Hold! The ears of Thor hear heavy footfalls thundering below.
He's plodding through the sewer system, just as he's supposed to do. His target is the new atomic power electric complex near the waterfront, because apparently the
atomic nuclear reactor in Manhattan is a thing in the Marvel Universe.
Thor says thee nay, and he's kind of jumping down in the sewer. The power of the atom may not be tempered with by such as thee.
Once he reaches it, the whole city will be my hostage.
And they follow the tunnel, which it doesn't look like a sewer because there's all this like Kirby gadgetry down there. And there's a place in the wall, like a sign in the wall in the sewer that says warning atomic plant. And they come across the hole in the wall there by the warning atomic plant sign.
Ha! He's already broken through the steel wall into the inner compound.
Hast thou no thought for the lives thou art placing in jeopardy? If aught should go amiss, thousands might perish. And amongst them, Jasper White, could be thy mother.
And Jasper gets this look on his face like, huh? Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
But the time for talk is past. Only the hammer of Thor is needed now.
And they go bursting into this nuclear laboratory. And there's this giant piece of Kirby tech, which apparently is a nuclear reactor, though it doesn't look like anything in the real world that would be a nuclear reactor. And the Crypto Man is there, and he's got there's like a guard or cop or something. He's holding him by his foot, kind of dragging him around. Jasper's like,
no, he's too near the reactor. If it shattered, anything can happen.
Well, not anything, just basically a big boom.
Thou should have thought of that before. Now stand thee back, says Thor.
No, there's another way, a better way, says Jasper. My control beam. If I can adjust it, I'll double the voltage of maximum blast.
What will then result, asks Thor.
It will end at last, in the only way that it can.
And Jasper leaps forward with his flashlight thing in his hand, and he shines this beam at the Crypto Man, and the Crypto Man is kind of encroaching on him here.
Even though I created you, I have to do this. I have to. You must understand. You must forgive me.
I'd forgotten about my mother. So the Crypto Man crashes into Jasper, and there's this big shoosh, big flame explosion, Kirby crackle fire sort of thing. And he's kind of all burned up, and well, not really. I mean, this is kind of a big explosion. And Thor's like, he hath spoken the truth. They are fallen, and neither shall rise again. And both of them are laying in the ground there. Even now, as he hath said, the strength returns to the son of Odin's limbs. My task is not yet o'er. The most tragic part doth yet remain. And we shift scenes for the final time, and we are in Dr. Blake's office, and you know Jasper's mother is there, and so Don Blake has some bad news for this old lady.
I learned the fate of your son, Mrs. White. There was an accident. It had to do with a scientific experiment. Whatever his faults, whatever his weaknesses, I can tell you this. Jasper White died that others might live. He died the death of a hero.
So basically, Don Blake just lies to her. And she doesn't say anything. She's kind of weepy here. And Blake is thinking to himself,
I cannot lessen her grief, but perhaps I was able to ease the pain. Now I must leave her with a mother's heartbreak. But there will also be a place in her heart for a mother's pride.
Next issue, The Fall of Asgard. And that is Thor number 174. So, but of course we do have a few things to say about this issue, which we will get to right after this.
The dawn of an age. The founding of a family.
You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays.
We've got to take that chance.
Conditions are right tonight. Let's go.
They're penetrating the ship. Our shielding isn't strong enough.
I feel like I'm burning up.
Too heavy. Can't move.
Too heavy.
We're all alive.
I feel so strange.
You're fading away. I can't see you at all anymore.
Look what's happened to you. You're changing.
Oh, Reed, not you too.
What happened to me? To all of us?
I can fly.
We gotta use that power to help mankind, right?
And so was born the Fantastic Four.
For soon the Mole Man will have the entire world in his power.
I am the mightiest living mortal on Earth. And half mankind shall feel that might.
The Fantastic Four. Little do they dream, they're the palms in the hand. I'm Dr. Doom.
The Human Torch will be the Puppet Master's next victim.
You Earthlings can't change the way I can. That means I'm the most powerful person on Earth.
I've been expecting you. For I am the Thinker.
I vow never to return, my lord, until the Fantastic Four are no more and the planet Earth is no more.
You're in the presence of the awesome Ralatots, King of Kings, Master of Men, and Lord of the Seven Suns.
Fool, you're just a muscular freak. Blind the Hulk.
Stop! You must not enter the castle of Diablo.
My journey has ended. This planet shall sustain me until it has been drained of all elemental life. So speak, Galactus.
Flame on!
It's clobbering time!
The Fantastic Four, from the very beginning, witnessed the origins of a legend. The Fantastic Forecast, ffcast.libsyn.com.
And we're back. So this is just kind of a good, solid, one-and-done story. There's nothing particularly amazing about it. I mean, it is pretty simple. It's very similar to some of the early Journey into Mystery stories that we had from Stan and Jack. And of course we have, you know, this is one of the things that differentiates the writing style from Stan from the writing style of Jack, and that is we actually have a bit of a human interest angle going on here. We have, you know, the mother upset that she couldn't find her son. We have the whole angle of kind of a message here, you know, if you destroy the city, you're going to destroy your mother. That's the kind of thing that Stan liked to put into stories. That's not so much a Jack Kirby kind of a plot device, though some of the dialogue in here seems a bit Kirby-esque to me. This is more, I think, more a true collaboration between the two. And the story is pretty good. I mean, you know, it's a basic Silver Age Marvel comic. And again, it kind of harkens back to an earlier, maybe less sophisticated time in Marvel's continuity. And at least if the Crypto Man ever came back, I haven't seen it, and hopefully never will. It's kind of a dull character. This is, you know, I have power. You would think that he would program him to say something else or program him not to talk at all. But again, we have, you know, somebody with a very poor motivation other than people make fun of him, setting this robot with half of the power of Thor loose on the city to destroy the nuclear reactor and destroy New York, apparently. And let's not forget, he didn't escape New York. He was right there, so he would have been among the first to die. So in some ways, the story doesn't make a whole lot of sense. This Jasper White character comes across as sort of this weird suicidal loser. Then again, you know, we have Thor coming in and saving the day as always. And, you know, this reminds me a little bit of the story I know we did a long time ago now. I'm pretty sure it was back in the Journey into Mystery days where we had the Irish grandmother and her mobster son. Do you remember that? That was a long time ago now. And in a way that this plot is really similar, much in the same way that the Ringmaster and Circus of Crime story that we had last issue was really kind of an echo of the first appearance of the Ringmaster in the Circus of Crime. And it basically the same kind of thing. The Ringmaster is stealing something really heavy that he needed somebody like Thor to lift. And they had the same thing going on here, except in that case, they had the other strongman, the fake Thor, that just was kind of inexplicably written out of the story about halfway through. But anyway, yeah, solid one and done. Nothing particularly great about it. Nothing particularly bad about it. Artwork generally pretty good. I'm liking this new take that Bill Everett had on Kirby's art. Not a lot of the fancy, you know, really fine line work, like kind of Coletta-ish. He's more following, I think, Kirby's basic pencils here. And I think that probably we had Kirby doing more complete pencils this time than he did last time. Everything seems to be very much in Kirby's style. You don't see the redrawing of people's faces that we did last time. So overall, I have to say, probably a pretty good basic Thor issue, and there's really not a whole lot I can say against it. All right, so that's about it for this week. Thanks once again, folks, very much for listening. Don't forget that you can join our Facebook group. Just pop over to Facebook, look for Radio Free Asgard, and you will find us. You can also find us over on iTunes. If you want to leave us a review, that'd be fantastic. We do have, we only have like 2 reviews, so it'd be nice to hear for some other people for a change. And of course, if you want to email the show, you can do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And with that, I am on an airplane flying over the Atlantic to the Shetland Islands and other places. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.